Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the importance of understanding the Father Principle in personal development. Listen as we explore the biblical statement, I and the Father are one. In this show, the focal point is the concept and principle of oneness. The goal of Kriya Yoga is to total consciousness, but it begins with union with the divine. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So, Swami, let's talk about that statement, I and the Father are one, which is located in the book of John 10:30. What would you like our listeners to know?
Well, I think it's a goal that we are trying to achieve, but it's more of a discovery than something that we have to do, because the reality of it is that we are already one with the divine. But we think that we're separate oftentimes, and that becomes part of our problems, that it's not real, it's imagined. But the way it plays out is that we think it's real, and part of it is because we believe that it's real. And it's our belief in it that perpetuates it. And it's quite an interesting dynamic that goes on. But Jesus' instruction that I and the Father are one is really, I want to say, our way out. Because what we really want to look at is, a few weeks ago we looked at Mother's Day. And the mother principle is the principle of manifestation. It's how things come into form. And it's how we nurture that which we put into form. We protect it. But the Father principle is more of the attractive outsider. That is what inspires us to leave what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known to us, to move out of the testimony of our senses and explore consciousness, basically. And in the framework of doing this, the instruction of I and the Father are one becomes very helpful in that we realize that we're not alone. And the Bible tells us that we're made in the image and likeness of the divine. So everything that we're looking at, which is coming from the testimony of our senses, is in conflict with the instruction. So a big part of this process is that we have to separate from Mother. And then it was called the hero's journey. The dark night of the soul, that it's like the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis before it becomes a butterfly, that we must first divide and conquer before we can unite and stand. And so first we have to separate from our attachment to sensual perception, from things visible and tangible. And in the framework of doing that, we want to try and get a grasp of this Father principle. This understanding of ourselves, which is in the form of spirit. And the thing that we want to know about being spiritual is that it's invisible and it's intangible. So we're moving away from sensual awareness and we're moving into the unknown and trying to rely on the sustaining infinite requires this thing called faith.
Wow. So in preparation for today's celebration for Father's Day, I did print off quite a few quotes from the Bible having to relate to the Father. And so I have one here. It's from 1 Corinthians 8:6. And it states, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. So I understand about the God, you know, the one God, the Father, whom all things and for whom we exist. But what does it mean when the Bible states that Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist? I think I just needed some clarification on that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of the sonship, that the Son, the concept of the Son of God, that the way this plays out is that the human is God's idea. So if you drill down with that, it's kind of like we're Juliet trying to figure out who Shakespeare is, that we are basically the idea of God. And the Christ is not really a person. Jesus was the person, but the Christ is what I would call like the interpreter. The Christ is what enables human consciousness to perceive the presence of divine law. That's what makes this doable. That once we can perceive the presence of God, that's what changes everything. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we can't be enamored with our senses. We can't be embroiled in the physical world and still have attention for spirit, for this invisible, intangible source. And the Christ is what kind of enables us to be able to make this shift where we're going from material beliefs, material means, to spiritual understanding. It's a quantum leap because we're moving from a personal sense of I into an impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood, because now what we're recognizing is this concept of one mind. When you start thinking about that and drilling down with, if I am God's idea and you are God's idea and everybody else out there is God's idea, then we are all one, because there's only one mind and it's God's mind.
Well, as I was reading some of these verses that I printed off, there seems to be this common theme. And of course, you've already touched upon it. And I have another one here from Ephesians 4:6. And this one says, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." That tells me that God is in everyone and in everything. God is what surrounds us.
Right. God is everything. That's in the Isha Upanishad, they say, "For him who sees everywhere oneness, how can there be delusion or grief?" It is when we're moving from that concept of the many into the concept of the one, when we're moving from duality and a belief in two powers, and then getting this understanding of the oneness of it all, that everything that is visible and tangible and everything that is invisible and tangible and everything that is invisible and intangible is all God. And I really like looking at it as consciousness, just pure consciousness, absolute consciousness.
So I have I have a question for you that I'll ask you right after I cite this verse from Matthew 23:9. It states, "And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven." Now, obviously, those of us who are born into this dimension, we have fathers and we celebrate Father's Day. And what is your recommendation for us to celebrate Father's Day? Now, I know my dad passed away, but I'm still am going to wish him happy Father's Day. But so how do we go about trying to find this balance where we want to pay respect to our parents, but yet also understand what we were talking about earlier, that there is just the one Father?
Yeah, I think more and more as you start to drill down with this and understand it, you really start to see that the external person that we call father or mother or whoever it might be is really a symbol for this creator revealing itself through creation. And the more we identify with the invisible picture that is behind the actual person, the more spiritual we become. The more we get away from mortality and we start to glimpse immortality, we start to see that we are eternal spiritual beings. And then from that perspective, you really start to understand that nobody's born and nobody dies. But by the same token, it doesn't negate the simple fact that somebody near and dear to you has transitioned, but it makes it smaller. When you start to understand that what we call reality, the testimony of our senses, is really an illusion. It's made of the same stuff that a dream is. And this invisible, intangible, this changeless state of being that is underneath it is really what is true and real. And that's what we want to try and get attached to.
Jesus says in this verse, John 14:9, he says this to Philip, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves." So are we talking about being at a certain level of consciousness where we are at that Christ consciousness, where we know that the words that come out of our mouth, where we're thinking as God and we're speaking as God, we're seeing as God and hearing as God?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what starts to happen. That we lose this personal sense of self and we start to identify with this divine mind, this pure state of consciousness. And from that perspective, we give up personal interest, we give up personal will, and we start to align ourselves with divine law seeking expression. And that's like what is said in the Lord's Prayer: "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what we really want to try and target, is getting behind divine law. Letting, like you said, letting God live us. Thinking with God as God becomes your mode of operation, that you really start moving away from struggling and kind of laboring to make your life work, to living with grace. And I really like that phrase because I can always recognize anything that is done with ease has always been referred to as with grace. Like you can watch somebody dance or skate or ski, and they do it with such harmony and just effortless. And that's basically what we're trying to do. That's what I and the Father are one delivers.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to pause so we can hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, let's continue on with some of the verses that I have from the Bible about the Father. And this one is from 1 John 3:1. And this verse is, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And I thought that was a pretty powerful verse.
Yeah, it sure is. I think a big part of that is we must know ourselves in the way that we're known by the Father. And just like you had said earlier, that we're made in the image and likeness of God, which means that we are spirit. We are spiritual. And if we don't understand ourselves spiritually, then we don't understand God. And the other thing is that God, being the creative principle, has made everything in its image and likeness. And God does not really recognize anything that is unlike itself. That's where everything starts to reveal itself. As far as the concepts of sin, sickness, suffering, and death as being unreal, unlike God, that they're not backed by truth. And what that means is that they do not have a life of their own, that sin, sickness, suffering, and death relies on human belief to sustain itself, to maintain itself. And the minute the individual gives up belief in it, it ceases to exist. That's an important thing. That's what Christian Science is founded on, is this discovery, this understanding of how universal law works.
Mm-hmm. You reminded me of a quote that I've seen over the years, and something to the effect of that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience. What is your take on that?
Yeah, that's true. And ideally, we want to become a spiritual being continuing to have a spiritual experience. Because if we are being human, then we are not being spiritual. And that's where all of our problems originate. That's what we call discord. That's what is referred to as living in sin. Sin meaning missing the mark. That we're outside of the Garden of Eden, a big part of our responsibility here is to get back to the garden, to get back in harmony with divine law. This separation initially, this journey, this process of us learning, and then the return to the Father. When we have that oneness with the Father, that's when we are in the kingdom of heaven. That's when we start to reap the benefits of this inheritance.
So John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I wanted to recite that verse because we've been talking a lot about truth in the last couple of months, and I'm talking truth with a capital T. So I wanted to kind of want to get your thoughts about that.
Yeah, truth as opposed to error, that there is only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one number one need. And everything else misses the mark. And the main truth is that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine, meaning that we are spirit. And it's very important that we know ourselves in the way that we're created, which means that we were created by God as spirit. And by us knowing ourselves as spirit, then we are in harmony with divine law.
So in John 12:44-45, Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. So obviously he's talking about the Father, about God.
Yeah, and he's talking about oneness. If you're God's idea, then where's the separation? Where is there a you and a God? It's just the one. That's a revelation, that once we have that level of understanding and we start to see ourselves as this divine mind, the concept here is that then we start to think from God, not up to God, which is very different. When we're thinking up to God, then we have a belief in two powers. And we're in the realms of suffering and decay because we have a belief in good and evil. Now, once we make this conversion and once we think differently, however you want to define this change that takes place, where now you have a belief in one power. From that perspective, if there's just one power, and that power is absolute goodness, then all there can be is absolute harmony, peace, love, happiness, health, abundance. And that's the template for creation. That's this invisible picture, the infrastructure of true reality. And anything that does not reflect those characteristics is not real. It is not backed by truth. It's not backed by divine law. And so as a result, the only thing that would perpetuate that is a belief in it. And that's where this thing called faith is so important, because we can believe in anything, and most of us believe in sin, sickness, suffering, but to believe in truth, that is faith. That is what they call faith. When you have a belief in one power, that is the truth that will set you free.
So is that what it means in John 4:24? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So if that's what the truth part means, what does the spirit part mean?
Well, it's pretty much two ways of saying the same thing, that spirit, truth, principle, life, love, these are all interchangeable terms to really kind of identify with this invisible, intangible, divine law. And like I say, I mean, it's not an easy catch. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we can really govern it or track it is by the fruits. So in other words, the only way that we can track it is by what it brings forth, what it is that manifests from it. And if what is manifesting does not reflect these qualities, does not have the characteristics of virtue, then it's what we call discord. That's a sin. It is missing the mark. And a big part of using this practice is basically using your mind as a compass to try and keep yourself in sync with divine law.
And so I guess that makes sense about what Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I think that means from what you've been saying is that we have to live with divine qualities, and then that's how we get to the Father, because we're living like the Christ.
Yeah, that is what I call the physics of spirituality. That's the like attracts like. It reminds me of a siphon, that if you want to try and draw a liquid from a particular container and you have a hose, you can take that hose, and if you fill it with the fluid of that container, and provided that the container is higher than the hose, that you can dip one end into the container and the other one into another container or onto the ground or wherever you want to place that liquid. And then you take your finger off of that hose and it will flow. But if there is no fluid in that hose, then there's no connection. And that's kind of like what we have to do here. That's why in the Bible it says a good way to connect to God is to keep the commandments. But it's not just about the conduct. It's also about the connection. And that's where this whole thing of we must love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and all of our strength comes in. We have to take a proactive stance on this. And then, of course, once we do that, then we create this reciprocity, that this invisible picture reveals itself with human attention. And that's the Christ. The Christ is when divine law appears in human consciousness.
Well, I think it's probably about that time we need to start breaking down our show for today. So I'd like to invite you to visit the websites, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make posts about this show, give us ideas for future shows if you like, and be sure to tune in to our weekly Facebook Live episodes we do every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great radio show for you. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I do hope that everybody had a really joyful and peaceful and loving Father's Day and continues to move forward with this quest for spirit, which is the principle of the Father, the attractive outsider, the one that would inspire us to move out from what is safe, familiar, comfortable, and known. and embark on the anxiety, the uncertainty of this unknown, because to leave what is familiar to us, to leave sensual awareness and reconnect with spiritual understanding is definitely an upgrade for any individual and becomes a practical guide for highly effective living, that you no longer have to grind out your life, but you can live with the grace of divine love. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.